Shalom, and welcome to Kehilat Rosh Pinah, a dynamic, multicultural, and growing Messianic Jewish congregation located in the heart of Oklahoma City and led by Rabbi Michael Weigand. Our goal is to bring you the message of the Word each week from a Jewish perspective and to exalt the Messiah Yeshua as Lord and Savior over all. We are a loving congregation made up of both Jew and Gentile, now one in the Messiah, with Shabbat morning services at 10:40 a.m., and various studies throughout the week. Please come and join us next time you are in Oklahoma City. We would love to have you. And now, we hope you enjoy today's message.
So good to be with you again. As usually, good morning, Shabbat Shalom. As you know me, I'm usually starting with a psalm, which has to do with the message. And this time I will do it a bit differently, okay? Now, in the sound systems, I know that I changed my mind already over the last 10 minutes 50 times. This is the 51st time I will change my mind. It will be song number 9, but not yet. Is it okay? Or it's putting you in a 9. We will start with 9 and we will end with 3. We will start with 9, but not yet. Probably you ask yourself, what are they talking about? We are talking about Psalm 13. Will you turn, please, to Psalm 13? And I want to give the glory to God. How amazing he is. Who shared? Linda, the public speaker? I wish I would be such a public speaker like you. I mean, come on. Linda, you have no idea. I mean, all that you shared and then what the rabbi shared and, you know, encouraged us to pray, it's going the same line of my message today. Exactly the same line. And I want to ask you a question, a very important question. Do you think that a man of God, a strong man of God, and my emphasis is on strong, solid, lover of God, do you think a thought like, why have you forsaken me, O God? Or where are you? Or will you forget me forever? Can occur in such a man of God, heart or mind? Of course, yes. We are going to read it now and hear it in music. Why is it that we, men of God and men and women of God, need to pass through times when we ask actually ourselves, are we at all saved? Where is he? Why don't we hear him for the last 1 week, 1 year, 10 years, 40 years? Why? Does God really forsaken us? Does he really leave us alone? I will answer this question as a real Jew. Yes and no. We are going to talk about it and elaborate on it some more by God's grace. I am totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. I don't have notes here. I mean, I have, but as usually I will not look at them because I want to be led by the Spirit. So, Abba, thank you that you are with me in this place. I want to read to you the psalm that you are going to hear playing the sound system soon. It is taken from Gabi's, my wife's, last CD that is outside. It's not propaganda for her CD, but you are going to see why I play it and why I might play another song at the end of the message. Psalm 13, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. This is what you will hear in Hebrew very soon. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? This is David speaking. How long will you hide your face from me? Today in the false gospels which are preached from the pulpits in many churches, David would be accused as blaspheming. Where is your faith, man? Don't you know that you can claim and name whatever you want? Don't you know that you have authority? David did not know. Yeshua did not know on the cross. God, God, Eli, Eli, lama shabaktani, Yeshua. As long as we are in this yaki paki flesh, some of our fleshes look nice, you know, but by the way, don't be too excited. The years are passing by. More wrinkles. If you don't do your facelift, it will be... And like you came to this world, you are going to live, which means... As long as we are in this flesh, there will be desert experiences. And beloved, as more you want to know God, and I want to warn your people with your permission, actually, even without your permission, Rabbi, because I'm here now, you cannot stop me. Beloved, listen, no, he trusts me, otherwise I wouldn't be here. My only agenda is for your own benefit. God is my witness. My friends, let me give you a big warning. Don't be too quick to raise your hands and say, I want more of you, more of you. Consuming fire. Oh my gosh, you're not knowing what you are asking for. It cannot get closer to you as long as you have this flesh on you. So he will be in the business of killing and destroying your flesh. And it's not exactly easy. So let's continue. How long, verse 2, shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? David, sorrow? Cheer up! You're a believer. A believer should not have sorrow. A believer should not be depressed. Get up! Stand up! How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Excuse me? How dare you say it? I'm not talking to you, to David I'm talking. David, such a man without faith? I never saw such a non-believer like you, David. Your enemy? Don't you know that the God who is with you is exalted, high exalted, is above all your enemies? No, sometimes God will allow our enemy to be exalted over us. And I don't care which gospel you heard. Because what I'm telling you is like going like a thread throughout scriptures. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Consider and hear me. O Lord my God, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep in the sleep of death. Lest my enemy says, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. Mercy, chesed, grace. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Shall we hear it in Hebrew? Ad ana, till when? And then we'll continue. Number 9, please. Music. No, 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 no. 9. You press the one for the end. Yeah.
Ad ana, ad ana, Adonai, tishkecheni, netzach. Ad ana, ad ana, tastir et panecha, mimeni. Ad ana, ashit etzot benafshi, yagon bilevavi. יומם עד ענה ירום אויבי עליי עד ענה עד ענה אדוני תשכחני נצח עד ענה עד ענה תסתיר את פניך ממני עד ענה אשית עצות בנפשי יגון בלבבי יומם עד ענה ירום אויבי עליי הביטה ענני אדוני שן המוות בין יומה אויבי יכולתי צרה יקילו כי אמות הביטה ענני אדוני אלוהי העירה עיניי בין אישן ואני בחסדך בטח
I will sing to the Lord because he has dwelt bountifully with me. That's the repeated chorus. I hope you enjoyed it even though it was in Hebrew. the song was written by my wife, like all the songs, all the 12 songs on this CD, and she allowed others to sing on it, including my daughter, my youngest daughter. So turn with me, please, to the portion of the week. This portion of the week, Va'era, and I appeared in Exodus 6. And for those of you, I don't believe there are people like this here, I don't know, but I just will anyway cover it to build a common ground. For those of you who do not know or not aware, you know, the Jews do read the Torah in this yearly cycle.
Yeah.
And so, thank God, also the Messianics. Yeah. In the Messianic synagogues, they do the same cyclic reading of the Torah, five books of Moses, of course. And the last portion and today's portion are very, very important in my humble opinion, because actually all the book of Exodus is setting the very pattern after which the story of our salvation is built. Are you with me? The great redemption of the Israelites, our forefathers out of Egypt, actually foreshadows and patterns the our great redemption out of Egypt, the world. Are you with me? As they applied the blood of the Lamb of Passover on their doorposts and lintels, so we did apply the blood of the Lamb of Passover on our doorposts, lintels, yeah? As they were baptized into Moses and into the sea, so we were baptized into Yeshua and into the Holy Spirit. As they walked in the desert, we are going to walk in the desert. Desert, plural. As they crossed the Jordan River, we are going to cross our Jordan River into God's laps, promised land. So it's a beautiful book, one of my favorites, together with Deuteronomy and Genesis. All of them. Okay, some of them are hard to understand, but let's look at verse 3, the opening verse after which the portion is named, Va'era in Hebrew, and I appeared. And God spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord. Verse 3, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, or in Hebrew, in Be El Shaddai. In El Shaddai, or as El Shaddai, okay? God Almighty. But by my name, Yod-Hei, Vav-Hei, I intentionally say it like this, speak it like this, because no one knows how they pronounced it exactly, okay? Yehovah, Yahweh, we don't know, okay? Yod-Hei, Vav-Hei is safe, okay? But look, please, I hope you are reading together with me, and you are reading it with your spiritual ears. I appeared to you. He speaks to Moses, yeah? And soon we will see in what context he speaks to Moses. Very important. A good teacher needs all the time to have context, and yet again context. Good relator, location, right? We cannot avoid the context. Soon we will get back to it, yeah? But look, it's a strange saying. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, Be'el Shaddai, but by my name, Lord, or Yod-Hei, I was not known to them. Excuse me? What about throughout Genesis? The name Yod-Hei is mentioned. Abraham builds to Yod-Hei altars. Jacob the same. Isaac. What does he mean really? And the Jewish sages, the rabbis, struggled with it again and again in ancient times. And guess what? They did not stop struggling with it, even to this day. Because it sounds like a contradiction. God, did you forget Genesis? No, God did not forget. But there are, please look at me, different levels of God revelation to his people.
Actually, God's revelation to us is a progressive one. When he saves us like the God Almighty El Shaddai. I'm strong, don't worry, my son, my child. You want ice cream? Pay for ice cream, I will get you ice cream immediately. We are in a honeymoon with a prince who is riding the white horse. And we think we know all about him. We can button him up in our box. Let me tell you about the God of my salvation. But guess what? This is only the beginning. He wants us to get closer and closer and closer to him. Not only this, as we ask from him more and more of his revelation, are you following? He will want to reveal us his true nature, which is Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. I promise to look at the context, right? So the context, you know, back then there were no, till today, by the way, in the Torah scroll, there are no division to chapters and verses, yeah? You need to know where you are. That's why you scroll it exactly at the place, yeah? The previous chapter, Moses, of course, and Aaron are coming to God, to Pharaoh, yeah? Let my people go. Let, you know, God send us, you know, let God Almighty, yeah, come on. Let them go. And of course, you know what happens, right? Things actually not only not improving, they are getting worse. Look at me. When things get worse in your life, it's not because God left you. Unless you live in sin. I'm talking if you don't have any other illogical reason. I mean, you're praying, you're seeking him. Ah, you keep yourself clean from the filthiness of the world. But still, things seems to work against you. It's like a pressure cooking pot, yeah? And the fire is, I cannot anymore. And you feel like he deserted you. Like he even doesn't exist. He's not what he is. He's not what he promised you. Rejoice, beloved. Because as things are getting more and more difficult, your salvation is getting nearer and nearer. How do I know it? I know, I read my Bible. Let me show it to you. Verse 20 of the last chapter. Then as they came out from Pharaoh, them, Moses and Aaron, they met Moses and Aaron, the officers of Israel, okay? They meet now Moses and Aaron who stood there to meet them. And they say to them, let the Lord look on you and judge because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants to put a sword in their hand to kill us. So Moses returned. You know why they say it, right? Because they made their work even in more rigor. You know, I mean, they need to look for the material to make the bricks, etc., etc. Okay? Their lives are even more miserable now since Moses and Aaron approached Mr. Pharaoh. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on these people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, since I shared with this and that man about you, Yeshua, things seems to have worsened in my life. And not only in my life, but in the one that I witnessed to. What's happening, God? Are you out? He's very much in. The problem is that we hear a wrong gospel. Gospel of Garden of Roses, smelly roses, pink roses, beautiful. Ooh! Everything is, you know, with a halo, almost like Catholics. Everything is good. This is not what the Bible teaches us. Yeshua says, you want to follow me, Rabbi? Count the cost. Birds have nests. Foxes have holes. Son of Man doesn't have any place to put his head. Literally, it means you might find yourself a nomad, like a Bedouin. From place to place, persecuted, no food, no nothing. Do you still want to follow me? I wish the altar calls in churches would be a bit different. I wish they would not encourage people to raise their hands. I wish they would encourage people to open their eyes. Oh, let's bow our hands. Everyone who wants to receive the Lord. Open your eyes. Are you ready for persecutions? Are you ready to die? Are you ready that people will spit on you? People will curse you? Are you ready? Now raise your head. Come on, come on. Come to the altar. Let's see how many will come. Praise God that not many will come, because God is not into quantities, but into quality. Anyway, how many of those who came really gave their life to the Lord? It's not the real gospel, beloved. Let's continue. You know, you shall know the truth, not the lies. And the truth shall set you free, not the lies. How come we have so many people miserable in the church? Because they are fed lies, illusions, promises which are not based on the Bible. Come, you will be like Abraham. You will be a millionaire. Really? That's all that Abraham had in life? Or did he have some desert experiences as well? Or maybe Abraham needed to leave his household, his comfort zone, and walk to a place that he doesn't even know. No, they only speak about his prosperity. For since I am 23, chapter 5, Exodus 5, 23. For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to these people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. Moses is a prototype of Lord Yeshua. Moses is the redeemer of Israel out of Egypt. Are you still awake? Yeshua, he's actually following the pattern of Moses. Okay? Yeshua is not following only the pattern of Moses. He's the great redeemer. He's the great prophet. Okay? As Elisha, for example, fed the multitudes with little wheat, Yeshua multiplies. Remember? As Elisha raised the Shunammite son, Yeshua raises, you know. Yeshua does everything which people, which prophets, high priests, you know, redeemers did before him, just in a greater magnitude. Are you with me? So, Yeshua is following Moses, actually, pattern. And I want you to turn with me quickly to John, the Gospel of John. John 17. And I'm going to speak about the Lord's Prayer. Some of you look at me like I fell down from the moon. Doesn't he know his Bible? The Lord's Prayer is in Matthew 6. No, it's not. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17. What you call mistakenly the Lord's Prayer is our prayer. Our Father in heaven, our Lord be your name. It's not the Lord's Prayer. He taught his disciples how to pray. But here he prays a beautiful prayer. And I don't have time to go through all of it. But I want to show you something which has connection to our Torah portion. You remember? I appeared to you, to your fathers. No, Abraham, I'm paraphrasing with my bad English now. You know, the Torah portion that we started, Va'era, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, in El, or as El Shaddai, but by my name, Yodei Vaveh, I was not known to them. You remember? Moses is sent by God as God, Yodei Vaveh, to redeem his people. You remember? In the last portion, whom shall I tell him sent me? Remember? And look at Yeshua walking after Moses' pattern in his beautiful prayer in John 17. Look what he says. Yeshua spoke those words, lifted up his eyes, verse 1, of course, of John 17, to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him, etc., etc. And now look at verse 6, please. I have manifested, or by the way, other possible translations, revealed your what? Name to the men whom you have given to me. Go to verse 11, please. Now I am no longer in the world, but those are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through or by or in your name. He wants the Father to keep us in his name. Quite a strange thing. What do you mean in name? Let's continue. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Verse 26. And I have declared to them your name. Are you seeing the connection with our Torah portion? Moses is sent to redeem the people of God, the armies, the hosts of God, out of the land of Egypt, the superpower back then, yeah? And he cannot do it anymore in the revelation of God's character, characteristics, and attributes as El Shaddai, as El Gibor, as El Noah. No. He needs to know who sent him so he can present it rightfully to the people and to Pharaoh. God, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. You better be careful from him. He sent me to. And Yeshua, he redeemed us, all of us who sit here, out of Egypt by what? By revealing his Father, Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, to his disciples. Now, please do not misquote me. I'm not a Yahweh, how do you say, the holy name, sacred name, blah, blah. Friends, it's ridiculous. You don't see throughout the Gospels that Yeshua comes, puts his disciples, you know, around the fire, came and said, okay, I want you to repeat after me, please. And we will repeat it till midnight, till you get it. I want you to say, Yahuwah, 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 Yahweh, Yehovah. Forgive me, Abba, you know why I do it. I don't want to be sarcastic. I don't want to lift up your name in vain. Abba, thank you. But are you with me? Revealing the name to us doesn't mean the pronunciation. Oh, how many letters it has. Because a name in the Bible is the name, the characteristics, the attributes that the man or woman who carry the name have. Are you with me? And the highest revelation of God's attribution, characteristics, is in his name. And I'm going to show it to you in Chapter 3 of Exodus. Turn with me, please, if you will. Verse 11. So, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. By the way, I will in Hebrew, Eheye. Say Eheye. You just said God's name. One of his names. I will certainly be with you, this shall be assigned to you, etc., etc. And Moses asked him for his name. And in verse 13, and Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? By the way, why in the world the people of Israel would ask such a question? Who cares? The God is named Baal, Rami, Rabbi Michael. Who cares? Of course they care, because the name carries all the attributes. The name is who the person is. Are you with me? It's not a pronunciation. It's not to know how to say it. It's to know him as Yodei Vavhei. So he tells him his name, actually the interpretation of his name. And you know it as I am who I am, right? And God said to him, verse 14 of chapter 3 of Exodus, the God said to him, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to him, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, the Lord God, this is Yod Eiv Vav Hei Elohim of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Eheye asher eheye. I will be whatever I will be. What? What? What do you mean? I meant what I meant. You cannot even fathom me. You cannot even put me or dare even to put me or an inch of me in this small box of yours. All you need to know that I am present. Yahweh. Yeah, one of his names, Hoveh, present. This is how I interpret it, by the way, the name. Yeah? I am present and I will be whatever I will be. You cannot dare to put me into Trinity, Fortity, Sixtity. You cannot define me. I am who I am. But this revelation of the Almighty, of God, Yodei Vavhei, comes only through one and one only mean. You know what it is? Have you ever heard about theological seminaries? Many call them cemeteries. Well, I want to tell you, there is in Dallas, there is in this, and there is Moody and all this, yeah? I have honor for all of them, limited honor. because I have the honor to God's theological seminary. You know its name? D-E-S-E-R-T. The Desert Seminary. Only one mean to know God in his fullness, i.e. as I am who I am. As Jehovah, as Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. What am I talking about? Do I have some more time, Rabbi? Do you have some time? Let's go into the deep messages. Maybe most of you did not see it. But Moses, every one of us who is called by God, we need to be one with the one who sent us. How many can say amen to it? I just mentioned the prayer, John 17. Let them be one as we, you and... Now, you think he just play gimmicks with God? He really wants us to be one with the Creator. Oh, be careful when you say amen. There is one problem which separates between us and this oneness with him. It's called our flesh. And thus, you need to be graduated from not Dallas, but Desert Theological Seminary. Go with me to Exodus 2. Exodus 2. And a man of the house of Levi went and took it, you know, and she, okay, I will read it. And took as a wife a daughter of Levi, so the woman conceived and bore a son, and when he saw that he was when she saw that he was a beautiful son, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark. Why do I pause here? You should not know why I'm pausing, unless you know Hebrew. Because she took teva. Right, Michael? Michael? Teva. For you, ark. So what, Rami? What's the big deal? The big deal is that the word teva will appear, or did appear, only once before. Noah. Noah's ark. And the same things that Noah did with his ark, you know, put a pitch it, you know, with the whatever, so for, you know, tar, so to make it waterproof, the same action is taken by Yocheved, the mother of Moses. Moses is repeating, or is going to be experiencing, water baptism. Ooh, I never saw it like this. What? He was only 3 months old. What are you talking about, Rami? I'm talking about patterns, secrets, which are hidden, that I'm here to help you understand. The only other time that the word teva, ark, in this sense, is in Noah. And we know according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, 21, something like this, somewhere in the area, we know that Noah's ark and the 8 which were in it, read your Bible, it's there, I'm not inventing it, is a pattern, is a prototype of our water baptism. We are saved in the ark. The ark is a prototype, yet another one of Yeshua. From the water, the judgment of God. Are you with me? Moses is saved by God in kind of a prototype of a baptism, in like Noah, from the water of the Nile. Are you with me? Not only this, what is baptism all about? Come on, water baptism. Death to self, resurrection as a what? New man. Well. Who saved Moses out of the river? An Egyptian woman. Yes or no? Remember I told you Moses is a prototype of Yeshua? Who saved Yeshua from Herod the Great? Egypt. Are you with me? Nothing is new under the sun. You should not be surprised even. The first church did not have the New Testament to read from, at least not as a canonized set of books. They did not have it for 100, some say even more, till they finished the canonization process of the what we know as the New Testament. So what did they use? The Torah, the prophets, the Psalms, what we call mistakenly Old Testament. So, beloved, baptism is like death to self and resurrection to new life. Yes or no? You know what she calls Moses, this daughter of Pharaoh? Come on. Yeah, I mean what she calls Moses. What she calls the baby? Moshe. It's not Moses. Moshe. Why? Because from min hamayim meshitihu. Phonetically, I want to hear the connection. Moshe limshot meshitihu. Sounds familiar? I mean, sounds similar? To drag a dead body out of the water, Miriam, is in Hebrew, limshot. Moses is saved and is going to be a new creature out of the water. Are you with me? Because he cannot redeem the people of Israel without experiencing it upon himself. Are you with me? He needs to be a new creation. And when you are born again, beloved people, you get into your honeymoon. Yes or no? Come on, how many can raise their hands? How did you feel when you became a believer? Woohoo! Remember, Abba, I need ice cream. Tell Michael and Miriam to bring me ice cream, please. They hear, boop, bring him ice cream. I want a better car, boom. I want a better job, paid job, boom. Everything is like, you know, you're a little child. You're sucking on God's breasts. Are you with me? You're on his lap. Hey, daddy! Hey, daddy! But do you fathers in the physical want your sons to remain in this position? Hey, daddy! Till they are 50? You want them to grow out of it, yes or no? Because there are stages, there is a progression of revelation of who daddy is. So Moses enters his honeymoon period, and he doesn't suckle on daughters of Pharaoh breast, but on his own mamale. Own mom, right? You know the story. She takes him, you know, they cheat a little bit, you know. I'm not sure she knew it or not knew it, the daughter of Pharaoh, when Miriam, the other Miriam, the sister of Moses, told the daughter of Pharaoh, oh, I know a woman which can nurse him for you, yeah? Breastfeed for him. Okay, he is good and he is warm, right? And then what happened with you in your walk with the Lord? After the honeymoon, you grew a little bit, like in the natural. The child doesn't stay, hi, daddy, daddy. The child goes to school. He gets to know the world around him. Are you following? The same with Moses. Not only this, he gets the best education you could get back then. He is in the king's palace. Pharaoh! He knows all the secrets. He knows all mathematics, astrology, whatever name it, don't claim it, okay, please. But guys, he is educated, he's brought up to be a young and handsome man, completely mature. And now he thinks, please listen with your spiritual ears. He thinks, aha, Michael, I'm 40 years old. You know, in the Jewish tradition, you can study Kabbalah, 40 years old. You know, maturity, yeah? I'm mature, I'm strong, I'm going to see my people and redeem them. Because I know this is my calling. He gets to his people and he sees an injustice. What was the injustice that Moses saw? An Egyptian beating up an Israelite, one of his brethren, right? He looks, kill him, dig a hole, put him, I'm the Redeemer, for sure my people will know. Now they will know that I'm fit. Look, courageous man. Next day, he sees yet another injustice situation. Are you with me? His just senses are very, very sharpened. Don't look down at it. Look up to it. He really thinks that he's doing good things. He's a righteous man. Like Lot in Sodom who suffered all the time, you know, from what was happening around him. He's a just man, Mr. Moses. 40 years old Moses. So he thinks, ha, the Israelites, for sure they have the same, you know, justice, you know, sense, yeah? Sense of justice. And lo and behold, Moses needs to go yet again after a pattern set before him. He needs to experience the rejection of his own brothers. Does this sound familiar, Mr. Joseph? Does this sound familiar, Mr. Jacob? There is, oh, it's a pattern. Nothing is new under the sun. So he runs and he knocks on the doors of Midian, Saudi Arabia probably of today. Midian. And there is a big sign there by the well. I mean, you read it, right? Don't look at me like I'm reading the Bible, right? Big sign, Rabbi Michael. And it's written, Welcome to God's Theological Seminary. It's not written there, of course, but believe me, it's written in between the lines. And I try to help you understand. Moses, 40 years old of age, strong man, needs to run for his life. And from the position, higher position in the palace, are you following? He was not an ordinary man. He was the closest to, okay, today you will not appreciate so much, but the closest to Obama. You know, he was well connected, Rabbi. And now he needs to enter through Desert Theological Seminary. He needs to marry a pagan woman who is a daughter of a pagan priest. Does this sound to you familiar? Joseph marries his wife, which was a daughter of a priest. Read your Bible. Nothing is new under the sun. Everybody needs to go to this Desert Theological Seminary, right? So, beloved, to make a long story short, he starts his theological seminary, and how many years theological seminary, take? How long? No, I'm talking about real today. 4 years. If you want their PhD, 7 years, I don't know, name it, 10 years. And then you go out, right? You have your PhD, right, Rabbi? You have, Rabbi Michael Wagent, a PhD in whatever, biblical studies. Are you with me? So Moses, I can see him in his house, counting the days, like Joseph in the prison, yeah? Counting the days and says, woo, 4 years passed. I have my bachelor. I'm close. But nothing happens. Abba, where are you? God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where are you? For the last 4 years, I did not hear you. I'm shepherding Jethro, my father-in-law's flock, sheep, goats, and all I hear all days, meh, meh, meh. This is quite a boring life, God. 4 years, bachelor. You want master? 2 more years? Okay, I will hang on. 2 more years pass. 6 years pass. Oh, you want me to have my PhD? I understand. You want me to be a professor? Okay. I will give you another 4 years. 10 years passed. 11 years. 12 years. And so on and so forth. What do you think Moses thought to himself? Does this not fit the Psalms that you heard played and that you heard me reading? Oh God, will you forget me forever? Where are you? Eli, Eli, lama shavaktani? I'm 12. Tzipora, what? Yes, Tzipora, what, honey? 16! You're wrong in your calculations. 60 years already. 40 years! And you think that you pass a desert experience when you don't hear God answering your prayer after one day. You know what is the sequence of Abraham hearing God's audible voice? Every average of 10 to 12 years. Abraham, the great believer, he needed to wait many years before he heard the next time. What did he do in between? He lived righteous life, life of faith, life of crushing, life of valleys of shadow of death. Are you listening? But guess what? Moses is graduated eventually at the age of 80. Do you think he looked the same like 40 years ago? Do you think he had some gray hair like Rami? Those of you who know me 10 years ago, I had some more black, yeah? My hairdresser is messing up, I tell him to color only second hair white, and that messes up. Anyway. But friends, Moses did not look the same. You agree with me. He did not have the strength that he had 40 years ago. But what about his mental abilities? Did he really think he's strong now? I can save Israel? To the contrary. And I'm not reading it, I'm quoting scriptures, okay? Just to keep it flow. Beloved, Yes, I will read it. Go with me too, because it's important. Please hang with me. 5 more minutes, okay? Chapter 3 of Exodus. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert or to the inwards of the desert, Achar HaMidbar, or behind, and came to where? Come on, you tell me. Horeb, the mountain of God. Har Elohim. Michael, do you know what Chorev means? You know Hebrew. Beloved, so contrary to what we think. Chorev means dry. Cherev, sword, the same root. Destruction, chorva. All negative connotation. God leads him to destruction, or to the final destruction, to the graduation ceremony. Beloved, are you ready to join Moses in his graduation ceremony? You know, he's now PhD in God's Desert Theological Seminary. Let's see how the ceremony takes place. And the angel of the... And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush, snei in Hebrew. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Of course, not a typical scenery, you know, seen in the desert for the last 40 years. Boring life. Not even one word, not even one revelation of God Almighty, 40 years. Unless I'm reading my Bible wrongly. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? So when, and I could speak with you about the bush, the symbolism in about the bush, but all your voice, but not today. And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Friends, in God's graduation ceremony, you always need to take your shoes off. You know why? What are shoes aimed at? Come on. You tell me. It's practical. Don't be over spiritual. Protection from what? Dirt, heat, thorns, whatever, name it. Right? But how does it protect you? It separates you from the ground you are walking on, from the dust you are walking on. Number one stage of in the graduation ceremony in God's theological desert seminary is come back to who you are. You are only dust. I am the only holy one here. Wherever I am, you need to take your shoes off because you are a son of first Adam and you are doomed to go to this dust. I want you in my graduation ceremony to know who you are and to know who I am. Are you with me? Let's continue. It will take only, I know I said 5 minutes, but it's 5 Israeli minutes. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, etc., etc., etc. And verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send you up to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Ha, ha, ha. Moses waited for this day for the last 40 years, right? Yahoo! Yes, Abba, give me your sword. I'm going, I'm running to Egypt. Thank you for revealing yourself to me. Is this what written here? Who am I to bring them? What a change. He starts to argue, like Jeremiah, nothing is new under the sun, yeah? Like every man of God who graduated God's theological seminary. God's theological seminary leads you to understand for God's sake eventually, who you really are, that it's not the wisdom of this world, the PhD, Egypt. It's not your position in the world. I'm a lawyer. I am in Obama's staff. I'm this. I'm that. I'm the son of Pharaoh. Okay, the adopted son of the daughter of Pharaoh. I'm a prince, one of the princes. It has nothing to do. And I am righteous. I have sense of righteous justice. Hey, Abba, look, I did it. I killed the Egyptian, this pagan man. It's not even this. It's not even our sense of righteousness. It's only him. Yod, hey, vav, hey. Oh, Abba, I don't want to go. This is what the Desert Theological Seminary will do to you. You will be so broken. You will be so destroyed, fleshly, that you will say, Abba, listen, I love you. But honestly, I am not able. I am empty. I am poor in spirit. I am mourning my situation. God says, woohoo! Angels, he graduated. Aha, finally, it took 40 years. He is poor in spirit, so I can overflow with my spirit. He's empty. He's mourning, so I can comfort him. What is in your hand? A staff, a cane, whatever, yeah? Staff speaks about authority in the Bible. Throw it. Throws it, and what's become out of its authority? Snake, devil, sin. All your authority, all your clothes are like dirty rags before me. Hold him in his tail. Now it will become my rod. Check me out. Moses' rod becomes Matea Elohim. Because when God touches you, you become his tool, his rod. Are you with me? Take, put your hand into your bosom. Bubusum, yeah? Take it out. This is how your heart looks. Leprosy. You are full of it. Do you think you are something? Take it in. I healed you. Now you go. You are empty. You are nothing. It's me who goes with you. And it's not just me. It's me. Yod, hey, vav, hey. Ehye, asher, ehye. I will be whatever I will be. The things you know, that's the only things you need to know. That's why I taught you for the last 40 years. You don't need to know exactly how I operate. You don't need to look to know whether or not I have blue eyes or black eyes. You don't need to know how exactly is the hierarchy in my Godhead. You don't need to know these things. I did not call you to know it. The Greeks seek wisdom or knowledge. Adam and Eve sought knowledge in the garden. I want you to be in me, in Yod Hey Vav Hey. No matter what, no matter if you do understand me or you don't understand me, I want you to trust me as I am. And Yeshua put us, all of us, if we are born again, in this position. Abba, I revealed your name to them. Please keep them in your name. Because they are the new generation of Israel coming out of Egypt. And on their way, they are on their way still. Abba, protect them in your name. Soon they will finish their 40 years desert theological seminary. And then they will be on your lap again. Amen. If we have anyone here who feels like Moses, like David, if we have anyone here in this beloved crowd who need to repent because he was self-centered in his own problems, in his own desert experience, and he almost idolized. You know, we have among us people who idolize their own problems. I have diabetes. I have this. I have this. We identify ourselves with what we are. God knows who you are. You are just dust. But God can and wants to have you graduated from his theological seminary. He wants you to be mature, which means broken, repentative, and knowing who you are and who is in you. Amen. Would you like another song to end with it? It's a call for Israel to repent. We are Israel. And it's beautifully sang by my wife this time. Listen to the names. This city was cut especially for the Israeli crowd. So some of the music is very, very soaking, you know, Holy of Holies music. Some of it is very light, yeah? And this is one of the lighter ones, but deep, deep words. Can you put number 3 and we will end with it? And I would ask Rabbi at a minute that the song is ending, if you can come and pray.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message from Rosh Pinah Messianic Jewish Congregation in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We would love to have you visit us. Our weekly services begin at 10:40 a.m. each Shabbat, and we are located at 2600 Northwest 55th Place, north of Northwest Expressway at the corner of Northland Avenue and Northwest 55th Place. We meet each Shabbat for wonderful praise and worship with dance, liturgy, teaching, food, fellowship, excellent children's programs, and Bible studies on Tuesday nights. For more information, please visit our website, www.roshpinah.org. That's roshpinah.org. You can also reach us by phone at 405-842-1967 or email us at info@roshpinah.org. Thank you for spending time in the Word with us today. Shabbat Shalom and blessings in Messiah Yeshua.